Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 30th of November, recording at 9:20 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights on another exciting day. Asian stock markets, strong. European stock markets, weak. And the U.S., well, that closed out mixed here, just about unchanged. Seesawed a little bit with the oil price. Canada, I see, had a reasonable day on the upside, and there's good reason for that. And moving on, government bonds, generally steady in here, firm, I should say, once again. And the dollar, this took another hit in here today. And quite a sizable hit, although it recovered some of the losses. But we're currently looking, yes, I'll give that price. It started euro at 132.40, had been as high as 132.74. The dollar slipped to 119.87 against the Swissie. U.S. dollar index down 56 ticks here at 82.93. So, still a very soft greenback. And that, not surprisingly, has been very bullish for precious metals. Not least, well, I should say especially silver, trading here in after hours at 14.15, 14.15. For the March contract. And metals generally, the industrial metals were all up in here today. So much for the commodity bubble, allegedly. And oil prices, well, they have wheeled around in here today. Currently trading up 51 cents on the NYMEX set. That's at 62.97. Now that's a dollar higher than it was yesterday, plus this gain, this 51 cent gain, because of a contract change. You have these monthly contracts, and I'm looking at I'm looking at the January contract there, as a matter of fact. See, Owen's changed the screen a little bit. And it had been up as high as 63.77, so it has been wheeling about here quite a bit. But this is a substantial rally from the $55. It was briefly touched in the middle of November. Okay, and the greens and beans were all a little bit firm in here. So, what's going on here? Well, first, stock markets, I've talked about this being, for most of them, a somewhat bigger reaction and more lengthy consolidation than the tiny pauses and brief, very, very shallow reactions and very brief pauses within the orderly upward trends that we had seen in the prior couple of months or more. Now, I also said yesterday that if any market sector was going to outperform in here, I thought it would probably be Asia. Europe is vulnerable, and this includes the UK, because of the currency strength that they're actually seeing. Now, the Asian currencies have been rising against the dollar as well, but they are still very cheap because of the extent relative to the fundamental background, I would argue. And that's mainly because of the very active management of those currencies by their respective governments. And the U.S., I've taken the view that a softly declining or gradually declining dollar would not be negative for Wall Street. It would actually be positive, because what it does is make U.S. assets cheaper for everybody else, and it also improves consolidated earnings for all those American multinational companies, And then, of course, it does help U.S. exports somewhat, particularly for the big, really big international exporters. There aren't that many of them anymore, but Boeing I was thinking of. Now, with the consolidation of earnings back into U.S. parent companies in dollars, that's obviously a big factor. So the risk, though, is, of course, that if the dollar weakness accelerates, as market trends have a way of often doing, and nobody's going to want to buy the dollar in here, at least not until they see some real determination to check its slide on the part of central banks. So these moves can become self-feeding. I've mentioned this before. All those Forex traders who have been having a very, very frustrating time for the last year or more, as their markets were just locked in very, very tight trading ranges for the most part. Okay, but getting back to stock markets, I don't think that there's a great deal to worry about here in terms of this reaction and consolidation. You know, I've avoided using the word correction to describe this, because I don't think it's at all serious, just a bit more of a pause, as I've said on numerous occasions, following some very, very good gains, which were becoming a bit too good to be true. And so thus the spillover. Now, this remains a very attractive period seasonally for stock markets, but we really do need to expect a bit of choppy action in here overall. I'm not going to disturb any of my long-term investment positions. I don't have concerns about those. I'm very happy with that portfolio, but I've juggled around the trading a little bit, as you will know. Okay, in terms of warning signs or storm clouds, which I've sometimes referred to for stock markets, I said that the main ones were the oil price and long-dated government bonds. I've also described those storm clouds as being way out on the distant horizon, but the oil one has moved a little bit closer here. It hasn't reached landfall, but it has moved, as I say, a little bit closer by virtue of this rise, and it was noticeable here today that with Wall Street sort of seesawing mostly into loss and occasionally into profit, that it was seesawing in response to the up-down fluctuations, tracking the up-down fluctuations of the oil price. Okay, but now the other storm cloud, which actually hasn't appeared yet, it's still bright sunshine as far as this influence is concerned, will be government bond yields. Currently, the trend is in the right direction. It's favorable for stock markets because bond yields are still declining. Bond futures, in other words, still moving up. So when I talk about a firm government bond market, I'm talking about those futures prices. And it would be the specter of rising yields and that would really, I think, worry the central banks. Certainly if we were to see yields move above the highs that we had seen earlier this year. That is very, very unlikely to happen in December, almost impossible for that to happen in December, but I would not be surprised if it happened at some point next year, or if not next year, in 2008. And when it does happen, it will have some negative implications for stock markets, and we'll want to be alert to that risk. Well, I mention it every day, but I get tired of hearing about it. I try to make all of these interconnections as far as the markets are concerned. Right now, say that oil storm clouds moved a little closer to shore, while there's absolutely no threat from the bond market, that influence remains quite benign. The other one, though, that's likely to influence, again, all these things are related, it's likely to influence those bond yields eventually, be some sort of sharp delayed reaction, I suspect, will be the oil price and what's happening in other commodities. Now, gold had a banner day in here today. In after hours trading, it's up 11.84 at 648.49. Now, I have said on occasion that I felt that there weren't that many people who were long gold. I've just noticed this from the chart action. I can deduce this rather from the chart action and also the comments that I've seen from fund managers. But I've kind of described the cross above 650 as a bit of a wake-up call for those who've either been ignoring it or were hoping to buy gold $100 or so lower. And here we are right now at 648.20. And above 650, that's clearing out some lateral resistance, just as leading silver did in here today. And I think that will certainly draw more people into the market. And the patterns for precious metals, certainly for gold and silver, can support some fairly meaty gains. And that's why I've got some quite reasonable long positions in those metals right now. So again, if I'm right in that expectation that these patterns will support some meaty gains and quite possibly, probably before year end, then that may well cause some concern among the central banks. We'll see. Or if not that, it may cause some nerves to jangle among the stock markets. Now, elsewhere, here the industrial metals get very, very strong. Here's nickel, the 3-month LME nickel price up $1,250 today to $33,950. Chunky, chunky gains. As I said, all the metals were up. The one that still looks the most ropey, potentially in terms of price action, is copper, by virtue of the fact that we'd had that huge upward acceleration, that climactic acceleration, and then slightly slower retracement off the highs, but a lot of right-hand extension, sort of looked quite toppy overall. But again, significantly, it has not broken down. Nickel also is because it had a huge move on the upside, but it had more reactions along the way, unlike copper, and so it tended to correct some of that overheating. And so these patterns, or these prices rather, I maintain are very, very strong. Well, I don't need to maintain it; it's a fact. They're very, very strong in here, and this is not reflected by mining shares. I mean, some of the mining shares have done very well, but by no means do they all reflect this action. So this is really quite interesting. And again, as I said, those beans and grains, they look like they're consolidating prior to some additional strength. And that's about it. Roll on Friday. I'm sure tomorrow will be an exciting day as well. Meanwhile, all the best.